I'm reading from the book of Acts, chapter 8. Our full lesson is 26 to 39. It's the story of Philip, who was sent to meet the Ethiopian. But we're going to read verses 34 to 39. And the eunuch is talking to Philip. The eunuch asks Philip, "Tell me, about whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Starting with that passage, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to him. As they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, water! It would keep me from being baptized." He ordered that the carriage halt. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, where Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Lord's Spirit suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, some of the people here today have been at the Lenten services and know that I just preached about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in there at the Lenten services, and I didn't want to be redundant. So I had to think about the passage a little differently today. But, you know, there's just no way you could read this passage and not consider our Ethiopian eunuch. And, oh gosh, this morning at Rich Hill, I even tried to show them how much fun this passage used to be to teach to the youth group back when my son was in youth group, because I used to give them the scripture and have them act it out when they would read it. And this one was fun, just so you know, because Philip, I love the scriptures where somebody's beamed in and beamed out of the picture, which was Philip. He walked there, but then he beamed out. But for the guy in the carriage, the eunuch, for Philip to be whispered to go run up alongside that carriage and then go running up, I will never forget the image of my son acting out Philip running up to the carriage and running alongside of it while he's listening to the eunuch reading out of his scripture, and him huffing and puffing, and he was all knees and everything. But you guys all know Brennan, so you see it, the entertainment in it. Rich Hill, they just went, "Huh." I was like, "Come on, guys. It was funny." It really was. Because he, you know, jogged up there, and we're going through the scripture, and he says, "Gee, I hope you let him in the carriage at some point." Because he was tired of running. but it is hard to not be, even when you have all that visual aid as a teacher, it's fun to think about what happens in the scripture here. It's great to get to that middle part. Now, the leading up to it, the eunuch himself, we're not sure how to feel about the eunuch. Right? We know what that is. We don't know how they came into their jobs, because we don't know if their parents thought that would be their best opportunity in life and so kind of gave them over for that service. We don't know if it was something they were sort of drafted into or something that as a person they just decided for themselves. We hope that this person decided it for themselves. We don't get the blessing of knowing his name other than Ethiopian eunuch. He worked for the queen, the Candace, and probably had a lot of wealth. We know also that because he had the scrolls in his hand, and not everybody had a Bible or access to any kind of scriptures back then. So if you had that scroll, you had the money to buy it. And so for him to be in that carriage, not knowing how he got into his job, we're sad for him when we consider that he wasn't welcome in the temple. Like, he could go to the temple, but he couldn't be in the worship space because his body wouldn't have been considered whole. It would have been modified, and people who had modified themselves couldn't be in worship. And so we're sad for him that he had a heart to know God and have a relationship and wasn't able to. And so then I get excited when I read this scripture, and I love it because here we have Philip, who is called by God to walk this road that, living in the country, we know what a closed country road is like. They probably wouldn't have as much beautiful grass growing up in their road as we sometimes have, but it would have been a dusty, desolate, not traveled place. And God called Philip to go there and travel that road that nobody wanted to be on. By the way, I remember right from back in the time that I preached it at the Christian church, it was also hot. It says something in the scripture about it being the hot part of the day. So walking out on the hot, dusty, yucky road by yourself when you don't think anybody else will be out there does not sound like something we would all want to do, probably. Nobody really. Okay, you can go walk it. I'm going to stay home in the air conditioner. But Philip did, and he didn't argue. He just went. And so to have him run alongside this carriage, And then the eunuch, I want to know what drew him to the man in the carriage. I mean, we know the spirit said run alongside the carriage, but what was the inspiration for the question? See, the big question was that Philip had, do you understand what you're reading? What caused him to know to ask that? I wonder all of these things when I read. Because I imagine, you ever read something and then when you get to the bottom of the page, you don't know what you just read? And so you go back and read it again. So I'm trying to imagine what was the thing that made Philip know. Did he hear questioning in the man's voice? Did the eunuch read and then go, and then read it again and then read it again? Was he kind of questioning himself? Because something inspired Philip to say, do you know what you're reading? And the man responded, well, how can I know unless someone teaches me? So I love to imagine that whole scenario, the funny part, the interesting part, and then what Philip was able to do for the guy that he introduced him to the story of Jesus, and where he had, where this man had been an outcast, unwelcome in the faith, he was told, you're part of Jesus' family. So what's to keep me from being baptized? Well, nothing. Let's do that. So the freedom and the joy that Philip gave to this man, I just love that story. It is so beautiful to me. But since I just did do this message not long ago, I decided to look at the other side of the equation a little bit this time and ask, what was it like to be Philip? I want to imagine Philip today. Imagine what it's like to be called upon your heart to go and who knows what to do. Just go. That was all he was told. You don't know where you're going for sure. You don't know who you're going to see or what you're going to do when you get there. And by the way, it's on the hot, dusty road that nobody wants to travel on. And he did. So it's hard to imagine just, oh, okay, I'm leaving. You know, pick up the keys and go. And then to just have that courage to walk up to a stranger who was completely different than him and ask him if he understands. I marvel at Philip here. But there's an interesting turn of events that happens when Philip goes and speaks to this man. Now, Philip becomes something, literally becomes something in this moment. Two things. One, Philip becomes a teacher. Does everybody in the room realize they've taught somebody else something? Or probably lots of things? We teach good stuff and bad stuff. Yesterday, I asked Peter if he knew what his mother was doing, because she's still in the hospital, even though the baby's born, you know? If you're six, you kind of wonder why. Do you know what mom's doing today? What is she doing, Lolly? She's teaching your sister how to eat so she can live. That's her job today. And baby's job is to learn. From birth, we have to learn things. But we have to teach so many things that we don't realize are valuable, life-changing things. And she probably doesn't even think to herself, I'm teaching my child something that will be so important for the rest of her life. But that's what it is. We teach each other. The boys were arguing last night. One of the boys told the other when they were being annoying, I said, you just taught your cousin something. We have to be careful what it is that we are teaching. So we have all taught. And in this moment, Philip became a teacher, which grew into something else. And we're going to get into what that grew into, because that's the other step of what happened with Philip. So if you can recall a time when you were teaching somebody something, and maybe you were able to teach them something really life-changing, what was it like to see them take off with that understanding? What did that do for you? Did that change you? See, when we have the opportunity to pass something so valuable to someone else, it's amazing to see them fly, isn't it? I used to give Lexi a hard time about living so far away from me, and she said, Mom, you just gave us such good wings, and we have to fly. I asked one of the little girls this morning at the children's time, have you guys ever taught anybody anything? And they all kind of looked at me, and I said, did you ever help anybody tie their shoes? You know, that's important too. And then to see them do it the first time, it helps you, the person who taught. The teacher is oftentimes the one who is inspired by the people that they were able to teach. believe it or not, my preaching is heavily influenced by you guys. Not just the content of what I come up with, but every Sunday, the energy, the interaction, you don't know you're interacting, do you? This is an interaction. This is an interaction. This is an interaction. This is an interaction. There's so many interactions that inspire me. This was a very different job in COVID when the room was empty. There was no energy coming back. No feeding of the person who was doing the thing. And it makes a huge difference. Every quirk, everything that we do feeds someone else. If things fall flat at Ohio Street, I change before I get here. Sometimes twice. But outside of worship, we inspire each other. I didn't want to pick on your daughter this morning, John, but I was thinking of her when I wrote this message because she is such an inspiration to me.
Oh, yeah.
For all of the things that she is doing. Because that girl is active in everything that she can get her hands into to help other people. She's always volunteering at the Carpenter's Cup. She's helping me on Ministerial Alliance. She goes and volunteers at the church. She makes the coffee. And she's how many years now clean and sober and celebrating?
Gosh, 3 or 4 at least.
And to see her change. And she called you, Daddy, I need somewhere to be. And he said, come. Yet the other day we were sitting in a meeting and she went, Julie, I said, what? She goes, I forgot my patch, and I have craved a cigarette. And she just gave it up, what, a month ago?
Yeah, she told me that, too.
Inspiration. To see someone change so much, that feeds everyone around them. Changes the people around them just to watch them change. And that has to be inspiring for you.
Oh, yeah, I told her, I'm so proud of her.
Yes.
Seeing her the way she was and the way she is now is just totally different.
Breathtaking.
Yeah. And her cousin did the same thing, and Mandy called her because Randy hurt her shoulder.
Uh-huh.
She reached too far. Oh,
she just had surgery on her shoulder.
Mandy called her, kind of texted her, kind of chewed her out. She said, if you need me for anything, call me.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
That's Amanda.
Yeah.
See, I just had a funeral that I officiated this week. For a man that was 90 years old, went to the doctor, clean bill of health, went home from the doctor, sat down on his steps, and I guess he decided in that moment it was time to go to glory. And when I was working on his message, his granddaughter had told me that her grandpa had just told her a couple days before that he was so proud of her. And a lot of her story is so similar to Amanda's, because she was 3 years sober. But what she does now is she spends her time running marathons and promoting for other women to get free of their addictions. And he was just telling her how proud he was of her. And she said, he inspired me. And I said, but you know what? You inspired him. You gave him a purpose that all he had to do was to say, I'm proud of you to help lift you. That gave him purpose. And you inspired each other. So as I thought about, I call today one of the parenting days we have, because there's all kinds of moms. Some of them are dads. Some of them are aunts. Some of them are mentors in school. There are so many parents and people who lift one another up, and I thought, that moment on that road, what a good scripture for today, between Philip and the Ethiopian. That was a parenting moment, sort of, right? Philip was able to nurture someone else and watch them grow and see them excel and become free of all of the oppression that was in his heart. And in that moment, Philip then was, he was given wind for himself. And he became not just a teacher there. Instantly from that moment, God took Philip and sent him to Caesarea, where he became known as Philip the Evangelist. And he raised two daughters who were given the gift of prophecy. And it started, that was his first gig right there on that road. I wonder if Philip could have had any idea how much the person that he taught was going to change him. We are changed by the people who we get to watch thrive. And we get to change others too. It's a beautiful give and take. So I don't know where it is that you are, which person you maybe associate with more, whether you're Philip, who is sent and doing the go, not knowing what you're supposed to do, or whether the Ethiopian who feels a little outside, who doesn't feel as welcome. But both were met on that road. Both were fed and inspired, and both were sent. I love the image of the Ethiopian too, by the way, as he went away rejoicing. What's it look like to go away rejoicing? What's it sound like to go away rejoicing? I told him this morning at Ohio Street, I imagine him running down the street and jumping up and clicking his heels like those old time people on TV. You know, what's it look like to go out rejoicing? Whichever place you are, God is there meeting you. But may you today feel the Spirit as you are sent from this place and the purpose. May you be the wind in someone else's sails. And may you ask three questions. Who have I maybe helped? It's a good one to ask. Who has helped me on one of these parenting days when we buy flowers and things? What if we texted or called the people that have helped us? They might not be a mom, but someone who taught us. And then the third question I asked you to think about is, who can you inspire this week? How can you do that? Teaching them to tie their shoes. Let's not say you're annoying me. Let's live a life that reflects what God has done for us so that we can be the Phillips. We've got 20 years ahead of us to work on these things, right? We can bring up other prophets. Be the ones with the purpose this week. Be the inspiration. Be the wind for somebody else's sails. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the people that you have surrounded us with that have shaped and grown and molded us into what we are. Lord, may what we reflect back into the world be a beautiful thing that helps someone else. Lord, whatever it is that we have been equipped to do, we pray that it will be made better through you, that it will be the change someone else needs, whether it is to help them change or whether it is to let them see what we're doing so that they too can be inspired by it. Lord, you have not shorted us from seeing around us the beauty in change and the beauty of someone's spirit evolving. Thank you for surrounding us with people like the Ethiopian eunuch that need to hear your word. Help us to share it with them. And Lord, just guide our steps directly to you. We love you so much, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.